Jonah chapter 1, verses 8 to 12. I call this God's sovereignty, and I want to show God's sovereignty here in three particular ways, three uses of it. The believer can say that all things work together for good to them that love God. We know this, Romans 8:28. But God is sovereign over all events, and I see it here. These three uses, these three particulars. First, notice how God, in his sovereignty, brings the backslider to his senses. He reproves him. Jonah is brought up short here. First, he's called to account. Verse 8. The sailors demand of him, "Tell us, who's responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What's your country? From what people are you?" They're probing him. They're questioning him. And God does this. With Elijah, he said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" With Adam, he said, "Where are you? Who told you?" God calls Jonah to account here. Verse 10, he was found out. They knew that he was running away from the Lord, because he'd already told them so. Now they know what he has in mind. "What have you done?" And they challenge him. God brings his people when they're sinning, when they're running away, when we're avoiding or trying to avoid his will. God knows how to use circumstances to bring us to our senses. He brought the prodigal to his senses. God knows how to bring us. And Jonah is brought to confess, to admit his guilt. "I am a Hebrew," he says in verse 9. "I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." And this terrified them because they knew that he was running away from the Lord. He was running away. And Jonah has to admit it. Verse 12. "It is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." He's owning his responsibility, owning his sin. He's not making any special excuse or pleading here. He knew, he felt, he understood now that he was wrong. God was bringing him to his senses. And he was made to face the responsibility and the judgment of it. Verse 12, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that this is my fault, that this great storm has come upon you." He knew he'd been the instrument for danger and for harm for this people. These are special circumstances, I've no doubt, but I learn a principle here. God knows how to bring me when I stumble and fall, when I drift away. He brings me to my senses as a believer. He will find me out. He will deal with me. He uses conscience, providence, events, the world. He chastises sometimes. Hebrews 12. But he brings home my sin. Unbeliever, God will call us all to account. He called Achan to account. He knew. God will call us all to account. It is appointed unto us all once to die. And after this, the judgment. God's sovereignty is seen in that. God's sovereignty is seen in the way that sinners are aroused here. We've looked at this before. We looked at their questions now. They're raising their questions. Why? How? Who? What? They're afraid. They're terrified, it says. This terrified them, verse 10. Tell us. They're anxious. They're interested. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, "What should we do?" They're interested, they're warned, they're awakened, they're alarmed, but, as I've said many times now, so far at least, we have to say that it's not saving. Whether it comes into saving, I don't know. We'll see as we get later in the chapter. But at the moment, all we can say is that they're anxious, interested, raising questions. And we know that this happens again and again. Felix did. Belshazzar did. But that's not necessarily saving. Unbeliever, you can be anxious about eternity. You can be anxious and stressed about things, but that's not saving. The only saving mercy there is to call upon the name of Jesus Christ. Fear, alarm, awakening, that's not enough. We can be alarmed and stressed, but we need to seek the Lord in faith. And that doesn't mean next week, it means now, while he is near. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God in judgment, but in mercy. But judgment does begin at the house of God here. Jonah is caught in it, and sinners are aroused. At least, they're aroused. The jailer was aroused. What must I do? But what must I do to be saved? Ah, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. God's sovereignty is seen in the believer, Jonah, being stopped in his wild career. Sinners are aroused, and then there's a testimony for God. I am a Hebrew, he says. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. He's speaking about the one true and living God. And through all these events, and even Jonah's sin, I'm not excusing it, but through all these circumstances, God is bringing this testimony out of his sovereignty, his uniqueness, his rule, his authority, he's the creator, that these other gods are idols and superstitious ignorance. They have no power. God is the only true and living God. They knew that he's running away from the Lord, because he'd already told them so. So God gets a testimony for his own name and for his own sake, even out of this. So I see God's sovereignty in these things. It doesn't excuse our sins, but sinners can be aroused. In all events, God will arouse sinners. May he arouse them savingly, with a sense of their sin, that they may cry out to be saved. May it be so even through this short discourse. He knows how to hedge up the way of his people and stop us when we're going in crazy ways and sinful ways. May God have his hand upon us today, and may we see his hand in all events to bring glory to his name. And may there be a testimony for God, even in our afflictions and trials and difficulties. May we testify for the living God, for Jesus Christ, and for his glory. God's sovereignty. The believer arrested. Sinners aroused. And God having his testimony raised. Blessed be his name. Amen.